Hello and welcome back to That Girl's Going Places, or if you are brand new, welcome to the pod. My name is Marin. I'm so happy you're here. Anyone who clicked in today, that's all of you. Thank you for clicking on this episode. I really, really appreciate you listening, and it just means the world to me, so thank you for being here. If you saw the title, which I'm sure you did when you clicked on this, we are going to be talking about all things gym, lifting, working out from a gym perspective today. And I thought this episode would be really helpful, mostly because in the beginning of my own little lifting gym journey, I would have loved an episode like this, and that's just going to be reviewing and kind of defining a lot of the common gym and lifting terms that you might see on Instagram, online, on TikTok, etc. So that if you're a newbie or if you go to the gym all the time and you just are still a little confused on some things, I can kind of give you my own little explanation and definition. So again, this was an episode that I would have wanted, so hopefully some of you find some merit and benefit to it as well. This is probably going to be a slightly shorter episode, but I thought it'd be good to switch things up. I'm always looking for feedback about the length of episodes, so if you ever want to let me know your thoughts, I'd love to hear them. You can always DM me at Marin for the Gym on Instagram. Let me know if like that 30-minute-ish mark that I've been hitting lately is too long, too short, etc. But again, this one's probably going to be a little bit shorter, a little bit of a mini episode today, just to go through some things if you are starting out your fitness journey. So I have a whole little long list of things that I want to define for you today, things that I know can sometimes get confusing. So let's just get right into it. First, very basic. We're going to start at the very basics, and that's just some of the abbreviations for like muscle groups. Again, I'm taking it all the way to basics. I don't want to assume anything of anyone's knowledge in this episode, so we're just going to start at the 101 very basic point and then move on from there. So you'll sometimes hear, for example, delts would be your shoulders. You can think of them as your shoulders. Technically, if we're going into major nerdy Marin science terms, there are three parts of your delt. You have the anterior, which is your front delt, your medial delt or lateral delt, which is your side delt, and then your posterior delt, which is your rear delt. You don't need to know all that as a more beginner or even intermediate lifter, fitness person, gym goer, etc. But you hear delts being thrown around, that you can think of that as your shoulders. That'll be a shoulder workout. If you hear glutes, I think we all know that's your booty. If you hear pecs, that's your chest. And then your lats would be, you can think of that as your back. Again, with your back, they're actually more back muscles in your back, and you know that's not going to just be your lats, but if you hear lats, you can guarantee that you're working some part of your back. So those are just some muscle groups that I wanted to get out of the way just in case they are confusing. Give you a little anatomy lesson. You're welcome. Now moving on into some equipment basics. This I actually don't like feel bad if you don't know any of the terms from today's episode. Again, I was in your spot about 2 years ago and I had no clue what a lot of these abbreviations meant when I saw them on Instagram, so that's why I'm making this. So one thing that I like never knew what it was DB and KB. If you see that in an Instagram workout, it's dumbbells and kettlebells. I'm sure like that'll make sense now if you didn't know before, but I did not know for the longest time, and like I don't know, my brain was just not like with the program and was not able to associate that I would look at their workout, they'd be using dumbbells, but like couldn't figure out what DB meant. So now you know, DB is dumbbells, KB is kettlebells. A dumbbell is like, we all know what a dumbbell looks like, but it has like the two ends, and then a kettlebell is just like a little ball with a handle on it. Sometimes you'll see this, not as often as DB and KB, but sometimes you will see BB, and that's just a barbell. That's like the big long silver metal bar, and that's usually on a squat rack. That's another thing. A squat rack is kind of just that big structure that you see in the gym, usually has hooks on the side for you to put the bar, and that's used for your barbell sports and barbell training. Now we've covered some equipment. Now moving on into, we're gonna get a little more advanced here on my list of terminology. The next ones that I want to talk about are kind of, again, what you'll see in a written out workout. Number one, basic sets and reps. That's not advanced, but sets is, or let me start with this. Reps is how many like times you're going to perform that exercise, and then that's one set. So if you have 10 reps in one set and you want to do 3 sets of the 10 reps, you'll rest in between each set, but you'll do 30 reps total. So there's sets and reps. Okay, now moving on to something maybe more advanced for some of you. That would be a super set. This I actually get asked all the time in my workouts, which is why I'm including it in my Instagram workouts. Sometimes I write SS. That stands for superset. A superset is where you have two exercises and you're gonna do the, you know, allotted amount of reps for each one. So one set of each exercise before you rest. So example, I usually label these like in my own little spreadsheet for my workouts as A1 and A2. I know that's a superset, or B1 and B2 if I have two supersets, etc. If you have, let's see, what's one that I do all the time? I do like a single arm row with dumbbells. That's A1. So let's say I had like 8 reps. I go pretty heavy for that. I'll do one set of 8 reps on both sides, I guess, because it's a single arm. And then A2, my second exercise would be bicep curls, let's say. So if I have 12 reps of bicep curls in one set, I would do the 8 on each arm of my rows and then go right into those 12 bicep curls with no rest. And then once I finished all that, then I take a rest. And then I repeat for amount of sets that I wanted to do. That's a superset. Similarly, a triset, or sometimes called a circuit, depends on who you're talking to, is the same deal, but instead of two exercises, it'll be 3. So again, you'll just go back to back to back, no rest. But once you've completed all the exercises, all 3 of them, then you take your rest and then you start from the top. So that's a little bit about supersets and trisets, circuits, etc. Again, I know I get that question all the time whenever I put SS on my workout. So that stands for superset. Next, we have a little bit about how you train. So I have a few abbreviations here that I know can sometimes get confusing. Number 1, AMRAP. You'll see it as AMRAP. This stands for as many reps as possible. This means until you fail, basically. So failure is also another term that you'll hear a lot in the gym lifting world. It's basically pushing yourself until you have absolutely nothing left to give. You are dropping the weight. You are, you know, sacrificing your form. Once you get to that point, that is failure. Same thing as going to as many reps as possible, AMRAP. I love having AMRAP sets in my workouts for like a finisher, just because it kind of tests my like endurance as well. So if you ever see that written on my workout, that's as many reps as possible, and it means you're going until failure. So in terms of exertion then, on the topic of failure, there are 2 main abbreviations that you'll see when people are talking about how to find how hard they're pushing themselves. Number 1, RPE. That is rate of perceived exertion. It's a scale of 1 to 10. You can do more research if you're really curious, but basically think of 1 being you're not pushing yourself, 10 is like you're dead on the ground. obviously like you're not dead, but you know what I mean? You've like pushed yourself so hard, you are at that failure point. So obviously, you know, it depends on who you are and what your programming is and who you want to take information from. I'm not going to give you a recommendation of what RPE you should be training at. And oftentimes it's going to change for different people, different programs, different goals, different exercises. But if you ever see that and, you know, you're looking at someone's workout and they say, you know, make sure on this one for their workout that they prescribed, they want you going at RPE 9 for your back squat, you should be like really, really, you know, trying on that last drop. It should be pretty challenging. You should be making faces, you should be breathing hard, etc. The other term that's used kind of similarly to that is RIR, or reps in reserve. So that's another little acronym. Very similar concept. It's to try to measure the amount of exertion that you're using in your exercise, but this kind of takes an opposite approach. And as the name says, reps in reserve, you're trying to see like how many reps you would have left. So this is also kind of, I find, at least a harder thing to estimate for people who are new to fitness and the gym and lifting, because you don't know your body super well yet. You know, you might not be able to do a set and say, oh, I could do exactly 6 reps after that set. You know, that might take some time to kind of feel out. Even I have trouble kind of feeling out where my reps in reserve would be, but it's just another tool you can use. And if you see someone saying like you should have at least 3 reps left in the tank or 3 reps left in reserve after this set, that's kind of another way that you could measure exertion. So obviously, if you add 1 rep left in reserve, you were pushing yourself a lot harder than if you could do 10 more reps left in the reserve. So hopefully that makes sense. That's RPE and RIR. What else do I have on this list for you? Okay, on that subject, a PR. I get asked this all the time. Don't ever feel bad if you don't know what a PR is. That just stands for personal record. A lot of people ask. In some countries, it's PB, which is personal best. I like can never look at it that way because all I see is peanut butter, but regardless. A PR or a PB is your personal best, personal record, and it's usually like the highest weight you've gone or the most amount of reps at a certain weight. Any kind of those like really high achievement, max yourself, RPE 10 type things, that's going to be a PR. So you'll most often see it, I think, as something with weight. So right now, like my PR for a deadlift is 225 pounds. I've never gone any higher than that. That's the highest amount I can lift. Yeah, so that's my PR. But that's also a one rep max. That's another term. If you see 1RM, that stands for one rep max. So that means you can only do one rep of that weight. But a PR can not only be a one rep max, like I mentioned, it could also be a amount of rep or an amount of reps you can do at a certain weight. So for example, what's a good example? I don't actually know the numbers on myself right now, but let's say I could bench like 85 for 4 reps. That's still a PR for me, even though that's not the highest amount of weight I could probably go. It's the most amount of reps I could do at 85 pounds, which is 4. So that's another example of a PR. Hopefully that makes sense. A PR can't be, or it can be a one rep max, but it doesn't have to only be a one rep max. Yeah, there it is. What else? Okay, difference between compound exercises versus like isolation exercises and accessories. Your compound exercises or your compound lifts are going to be those exercises that use a lot of different muscle groups. They are going to be your best friends. This is less about the definition. This is more me inputting my personal advice to you. If you are starting lifting, prioritize your compounds. You'll hear it all the time. You'll see it on Instagram. You'll see it on TikTok. It is so important. You don't need to just do like booty kickbacks to grow your glutes. You'll need to do those big compound lifts, your squats, your deadlifts, your hip thrusts, etc., to really get your muscles going, get that tension building, and grow your strength as well. So compound exercises, that would be, again, deadlift, squat. Some people debate the hip thrust. I think it is a compound, but there are some people in the community that don't think it's a compound lift. You can choose who you want to listen to. Your bench press, overhead press, row, etc. Those are going to be kind of those big lifts. Normally they use a barbell and they're going to recruit a lot of different muscle groups. Conversely, you have isolation exercises or accessory exercises. Isolation exercises are just going to be exercises that isolate one muscle group. So, you know, a bicep curl, you're really just working the biceps there. And then accessories are kind of along with that, just things that you do kind of after your compound lifts that might target smaller muscle groups or more individualized muscle groups. Next, we have a little more science for you. So the definition of hypertrophy, I get asked this all the time as well. Hypertrophy means to grow your muscles. Your muscles have two functions. They can either hypertrophy or atrophy, building muscle or losing muscle. That's all they can do. No, they cannot tone. I've talked about this in a different episode. Toning is not a function of the muscles, but hypertrophy just means that you're building muscle. So if you ever see a workout labeled as a hypertrophy workout, it's a little more focused on building muscle rather than muscular strength or muscular endurance. A split is basically just how you kind of plan and schedule your workouts. If you ever hear someone say like push-pull legs, that's a type of split where you'll do a push day, which is chest, shoulders, and triceps, a pull day, which is back and biceps, and then legs is obviously legs. But your split can be very customized to you. Some people use a full body split where if they can only get to the gym 3 times a week, they'll do a full body workout every time. So you can look up a lot of different splits, but that's what the meaning of split means. Another word that you might hear a lot is eccentric or the negative of a rep. Basically, this means like when you're lowering the weight. So this comes up a lot when you're doing time under tension training. A lot of people who focus on time under tension will slow down the lowering phase of their rep. Great example would be a bicep curl. I'm going to go back to that one. So you think about you're pulling your hand all the way up to your shoulder. That's the positive motion of the rep, and then your eccentric or your negative is when you lower your hand from your shoulder all the way back down to your side. So if you're looking to add time under tension into your training, you can slow down the amount of time that it takes to get from your shoulder down to next to your body, and that's going to increase the time that your muscles are spending under that tension when they're trying to resist the weight quickly coming down. Finally, I have saved the very most important for last. This term comes up all the time, as it should, because it is the most important thing you will ever encounter in the gym, in fitness, in progress, in lifting, etc. That is progressive overload. I recently made both a TikTok and a reel about this, so if you need like a really quick recap, you can head there. Instagram, at Marin for the gym. TikTok is at Marin for the gym, but the 4 is the actual number. Anyway, aside from that, progressive overload is, again, the most important thing if you're looking to progress in the gym. Basically, this means that you are, over time, gradually and generally progressing the amount of stress that you're placing on your muscles. So, lots of ways you can do it. Most common way is to just be adding weight to your workouts each week. So, if you are doing a resistance, strength, lifting style program, you can try to add weight every week to what you're lifting. So, let's say I'm at 20 pounds for a shoulder press week one, you know, I might try to pick up the 22.5s the next week. Sometimes you can't always progress that quickly in terms of weight, which is why there are other ways to apply progressive overload. So another way is to just amp up the amount of reps that you're doing or sets at the same amount of weight. So back to my shoulder press example, if I'm doing a shoulder press at 20 pounds week one, maybe I don't up the weight to 22.5s week two, but I do 10 reps instead of the 8 reps that I was doing in week one. So now I still have my 20 pounds, but I'll do 10 reps instead, or I'll keep at the 8 reps, but I'll do a fourth set. So that's another way that you can progress. Another way is using time under tension. I just mentioned this with the eccentric and negative kind of idea. You can start to increase the time that your muscles are spending under tension. So you can use the same weight, same reps, etc., but just kind of slow down the negative or the eccentric or the entire movement to make your muscles have more time under the mechanical stress. Another way is just lowering the amount of time that you're resting in between sets, or more generally, resting in general. If you're taking 3 rest days a week, you could take 2. So rest on a very like macro and micro scale, that's something you can use as a tool, again, to shorten that amount of period of rest, whether it's during your sets, on the week as a whole, whatever it is, to, again, apply more stress and force yourself to kind of adapt to that new stress and progress over time. I might be forgetting a few ways that you can use progressive overload, but concepts are still the same. Over time, you're gradually and generally just changing different things about your workouts and progressing them so that you make progress in the gym. That is all I've got for you today. Nice, quick 20 minutes for the pod. Hope that you enjoyed this. I hope this was helpful to even just one person. If it was, I would love to hear about it. You can always shoot me a DM. I will reply, I promise. And if you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to leave a rating or review wherever you listen to this podcast. It truly means the world to me, and it just helps to get my little podcast out there more to more people on the internet. So thank you again for listening. Thank you for being here. I appreciate you so much. I hope you have an amazing day, and I will see you in the next episode.